back in everyone to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are bringing you more coverage of the upcoming Edinburgh Fringe Festival. And of course, the stop that we have here in New York is the East to Edinburgh Festival that's happening at 59E59 Theaters. On today's show, we are joined by the co-playwright and director, Nadia Atkinson, and the actors Alice Zelenko and Jasper Pershing. They're here to talk to us about their new show, Cringe, or hashtag No Beta, We Die Like Men. Again, it's part of the East to Edinburgh Festival, playing July 20th, 26th, and 27th at 59E59 Theatres, and then it crosses the pond to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, where it will be playing from August 12th through the 20th. You can get your tickets and more information for its New York run by visiting 59e59.org. We are so thrilled to continue to bring you coverage of this year's festival over in Edinburgh. And we're excited to welcome back this co-playwright and director and learn more about their new piece. So with that, let's go ahead and welcome on our guests. Nadia, Alice, Jasper, welcome. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Hi, happy to be here.
Yay.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I'm so glad all of you are here. I'm so excited to dive into this piece. So far, the shows we've gotten to learn about for this year's Edinburgh Fringe Festival have been fantastic. It is making me want to more and more hop on a plane and just go over there. Who needs a place to sleep? You just go see shows the whole time. That's what I heard, at least. But let's go ahead and dive into your piece, Cringe, or hashtag No Beta, We Die Like Men. Nadia, you're the co-playwright and director. Can you tell us a little bit about this piece?
Yes, absolutely. So Cringe has been in development for about 2 years, I'd say, and it's about the genesis of fan fiction as we know it. So it's about two different generations of queer folk and how they use science fiction, fan fiction to build fantasies and places for their imaginings. So this is actually inspired by the first fan fiction that was written in the 1960s by women writers who wrote often about the Kirk slash Spock pairing. And so this show is about these women and their stories and how that has basically given rise to what we now know as fan fiction today, and how that's impacted at least my generation, who were the Tumblr and AO3 and fanfiction.net kids, and how that's impacted our identity building today.
That's awesome. So what inspired you to pen this piece?
Yeah, I mean, I was always a kid who was reading Harry Potter fan fiction on fanfic.net. And I think it's gotten more and more into the zeitgeist recently. Fan fiction as actual medium that people are seeing is more and more vital to creating community. And it's the only free community created art really that exists in a lot of ways, at least within the kind of literary world. It is a space for people to come together, share ideas about their favorite characters, their favorite literature, and quite literally expand on the worlds that authors have given us. So me and my dear friend, Max Jongren, had this idea a few years ago where we wanted to both put sci-fi camp on stage because we're huge Star Trek fans, but also actually celebrate fan fiction as a really worthy genre and a really important source of communal collaboration, which isn't really in conversations around it.
That is really, really cool. I love that. And I mean, come on, how many of us didn't dive into the Harry Potter fan fiction? That's all I'm going to say. Well, let's bring in our wonderful actors now and ask them. I mean, Alice, I'm going to start with you first. How did you come upon this piece?
Yeah, me and Nadia met at the Eugene O'Neill Theater Center 2-3 years ago, and we both share mutual friends through that and the National Theater Institute there. So Nadia is such a leader in terms of making work and including her friends in her work, which is really awesome because that's how you make theater. That's how you make theater happen. So she mentioned she needed some help, some extra hands for the fan fiction, Feminism and Forbidden Love. I think that's what it was called. It was a big festival she produced. So it's centered around fan fiction. It involved a reading of this show in its like early stages. There is this podcast based on Jane Austen's novels, talking about erotica and desire from a feminist standpoint. And then, yeah, there was just a lot of amalgamation of similar work around this. So around then, I was in the original reading that we did. I didn't know if there was a reading before then. And then Nadia kept working on it and developing it with Max and some other people. And now we're here. That's the story.
That's incredible. Jasper, how about you? How did you come upon this piece?
What do you know? Also from Nadia, also from the National Theater Institute, where I didn't know Alice, but nonetheless, it just shows you how small circles are, especially in this city. And really, I mean, like the thing that I want to highlight most that attracted me to it was Nadia, because as Alice was saying, she's so prolific in creating work and having followed through. And that's what's really important to me as somebody who births an idea and will bring it to the end. So when she contacted me to be a part of this piece, I mean, it was a no-brainer. Now, of course, a part of that no-brainer was going from Los Angeles to New York, but I'm very happy to be here. So I, you know, it's everything to me. This is the work we do.
That is fantastic. I love how small the world is connecting all of you. This is wonderful. So, Jasper, sticking with you first on this next question, I'd love to know what has it been like developing the piece?
Yeah. Well, you know, so far we're still in the rehearsal process. You know, the character I play, Mr. Professor, he's always on stage essentially, but he may not always be speaking. So a big piece of this has been learning who he is through movement, understanding his comedy, and in relation to the rest of the play. So the rehearsal process has been enlightening. It's been super fun, because of course I think theater, no matter what the story itself is telling, should be fun, and it has been. And you know, like I said, because everyone knows everyone in this cast, even though I don't know everyone, like there's connections. So it just means that I feel incredibly just welcomed and warm, and like I do know these people, like I've known them for as long as Nadia. So it's been nothing but an incredible feeling.
Is truly fantastic. Alice, I want to ask you that same question. What's it been like getting it up on its feet?
Yeah, it's really fun seeing it from the first reading. The initial idea of this earnestness, this like cheesy, corny authenticity that we all kind of like collectively grew up with in like the post-recession 2013 Tumblr, Flower Crown, A-line skirt. All of that is like part of the development process, I feel. So it's like, how can we lean into the comedy of the piece, the theatricality of the piece, because we're creating, science fiction on stage. And then also Nadia did a really great job of researching the period, the time period, and the like 1960s era, the context of that. So like taking what is accurate from that and also taking the larger than life theatricality and combining those things, I feel like is what this process is about. And yeah, it's very fun. It's a fun community, lots of giggling and leaning into our cringe and we all told our middle school cringe stories. So that was really I think that really brought us together from the beginning because we all have it, We all have that moment where you're just like completely pridefully, earnestly like doing something that is embarrassing to some people, but to you at that moment, it was an incredible decision.
So embarrassing. Oh my God.
No, that is wonderful. I love hearing all of that. Let me bounce up to you, Nadia, because I want to ask you, as the director of the piece, is there a message or a thought you are hoping that audiences take away from Cringe?
Yeah, I mean, I think this piece is about, at its core, it's about queer ancestry and what does it mean for especially fan fiction isn't really recognized by academic circles, and it's just about all of these independent cultural pieces and the people making them who aren't really remembered or lauded or were published by anything really mainstream, who have created the kind of cultural shift into queerness being accepted today. And it's a celebration of both this, it's a celebration of this heightened love for something that brings people together. And this, I think that the reason it's called cringe is that cringe comes from this really intense love and desire for something. And so often that's viewed as something that should be stashed away, or we should be embarrassed by, or we should put away. But in fact, that kind of earnest desire to create with other people and love something so deeply that you will set aside time in your day to meet with others and to talk about it and to create and to imagine is one of the most important things we can do as human beings. So it's operating on a number of levels. I think, of course, it is a comedy and hopefully will make people want to crawl out of their skin a little bit in various pieces. It's been really fun to work on as both a writer and director because it's allowed me, I love to write in impossible stage directions as a writer, and getting to direct my own work is okay, well, I have this very specific, very cinematic image I want for this section, like people flying down from the grid in astronaut suits. How do we actually do this with a shoestring budget for a fringe festival venue? So a lot of it is just getting to play and celebrating play in the room.
That is wonderful. Jasper, I want to ask you that same question. What is the message or thought you hope audiences take away from this?
Wow. I mean, it's so funny because I sort of knew that most likely I'd be asked this question, and I was still racing around between like what I wanted to say particularly. But I think as Nadia was experiencing, it's like, well, you know what? I'm so new to fan fiction. I didn't really know about it. It's not something that was a part of my life or and now is. So I think like I'm hoping that there's some people there who sort of came like me, who are like, what is this world? And then can come away with such an exciting new piece and venture of life. And I also think, you know, it's gay, so that's always fun as fuck. And I just hope people laugh. It's just really funny. And I just hope people feel comfortable. I do hope people feel seen because it's not something that it was very prevalent in my life. I could imagine maybe for some people who are writers of fan fiction or readers of fan fiction could feel like it's taboo or just weird, but in fact it's very community driven, passionate. Obviously, as Nadia said, it's also a part of, oh my God, queer history. So I really hope people feel seen. Yeah. You know, and it makes me think, Andrew, it's like ultimately in theater, I just want people to have conversation. So wherever that leads, whatever, when they leave that theater, what they think, as long as they're able to share that with the people, then I've done my job and I'm happy. Yeah.
Yes, that is wonderful.
Yeah.
Alice, let me ask you my final question for this first part. And that is, who are you hoping have access to Cringe, both here in New York and when you take it over to Scotland?
I think it's a show that is very ripe for our generation specifically. There's not a lot of theater right now that speaks to a very feminist, queer perspective. I think our generation is the most diverse generation yet and will continue to be. So I think a lot of the theater now, especially the commercial theater, while maybe the actors are beginning to become more diverse and we're starting to tell slightly more diverse stories, it still seems like the POV is majority the white male canon. So I think this is a really great show for the main characters and the main POV being from the female gaze, being from a queer gaze, and that not being about a struggle or like a cultural trauma, but fully just about joy and laughter and embracing cringe, embracing embarrassment. So I really hope people our age see it and feel like they've been transported back to their bedroom watching YouTube and being on Tumblr and, fully earnestly loving something. I think Taylor Swift tried to say it on her NYU graduation speech. She did say, embrace cringe. And I think she was really speaking as a millennial. And, as a millennial myself, I think we can all use a bit of more earnestness. We're very ironic nowadays. We can be very negative people right now. And it makes sense because it's a dumpster fire everywhere. However, I think this show is to remind us about the lack of dumpster fire present in all of our imaginations and our minds and community building, which is also why I love theater, is the community building aspect. So that's a long, rambly response, but basically, that's what I hope.
Please listen carefully.
Second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better, pick your brains, if you will. And of course, Nadia, we have had you on our show before, which was so wonderful. So I'm actually going to start, Alice and Jasper, with you and our regular first question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or just some of your favorites? And Jasper, can I jump to you first on that?
Oh, big, big question. But yes, I would say, well, okay, honestly, like when I went to the National Theater Institute, that changed my anatomy as a creator. It made me feel like I can call myself an artist and an actor, and that I have talent, you know, like I wasn't so sure before. So going there reinforced in my head that this is a viable path for me to take, as though, like you said, Andrew, often unemployed, but it is nonetheless something that I'm like, what, this is it, this is my life. But I would say that plays wise, since this is a play, there's a play called Fairview by Jackie Sibbles-Durre, and I read that, I want to say 2020, or maybe no, like 2022, because it's new works. But anyways, that play blew my mind. I read it while I was in the midst of writing my like senior piece in college. I went to Hampshire College in Western Mass. So it informed my own play in form and how to break form and that anything's possible. So I would say the combination of NTI and that play did stuff for me that I'll have for the rest of my life, not just my artistic venture. Yeah, I would say that. But then also, like, it's so interesting because when I talk about like what's inspired me, it's often not necessarily directly tied to this or that form of art. Like, I grew up sort of really all about cognition of like animals. So like, it's funny because like I think I bring that work into how I move my body, and I know that's something in theater we all learn. Like, okay, like, what animal are you, whatever. But I will say, still do it. It just works for me. So yeah, many different avenues. Many. Yeah. But those are what come to mind right now, at least.
I love that play too. I'm pretty sure it's in our library. Cause the minute you said it and the playwright, I was like, wait a minute, I'm pretty sure I've read that.
Yeah. That's the third act. I mean and I'm a sucker for kitchen sink dramas, and then the fact that was flipped so many times on its head.
Yes. Incredible. Yes. That is a wonderful list of inspiration. Thank you for that. Alice, how about you? What or who inspires you?
I was a big Anna Lee Ashford fan for a lot of my life. I still am. Yeah, she's an artist who really inspires me because as a comic actress who also has a really diverse array of work, I just love her career and everything she does. And I'm also from Colorado. But then Sarah Rowles' Eurydice is probably like my lone star. I love that play. I love that piece. I love her writing. It literally takes my breath away when I read it. That sounds so corny, but we're here talking about cringe. But that piece of writing is so beautiful. I love Bad Jews by Joshua Harmon. When I read that when I was like 14, growing up Jewish, I was like, oh my God, that's Dryland. Oh, I'm a big Shakespeare nerd. I studied Shakespeare my final year at NYU. So any Shakespeare play, Winter's Tale, I did for like a year. So I love that play. I could quote half of that play. It's so beautiful. Yeah. And I think Othello is probably my favorite Shakespeare play. I think that he really, the human experience, I think he got something there. So those are most of my inspirations. But then also comedy improv. I think the improv scene in New York is like some of the best stuff you could ever find. Some of the plays that are created in long form improv, it's like incredible. Yeah.
That is also a wonderful list as well. Thank you for that. Nadia, I want to bring you back in the conversation. And as I mentioned, you've been with us before. So this time around, I want to know, how is it that you came into the performing arts?
Oh, that's such a good question. I mean, I have a whole, so many of my personal essays have started with a whole spiel about when I was 5. I forced my friends to be in little scenes that I then directed and cast myself as the star in from like Pirates of the Caribbean, and I had to be Jack Sparrow. So I think that it's kind of been something I've been doing ever since I can remember in some way. So many. I come from an Eastern European immigrant household, and performing arts are so ingrained into the cultural consciousness. You go camping, you bring a guitar, you sing around the campfire, you go to someone's house, and their kids perform for you. It's just an ongoing, constant language. And it's just been the thing that I've been doing the longest, I suppose. I am also a visual artist, so directing for me was the perfect combination of visual art, writing. I'm interested in psychology, literature, and every single artistic and humanities-based interest that I had in one role, which is why I'm so drawn to working with actors on these worlds, because every single script that you encounter is like a new world that you are creating and crafting and mining together. And that is such a gift, and it is never boring. And every single time you come upon a new script, it is such a gift to be able to unpack that with an entirely new community of people and actually figure out how to create a language of trust and communal collaboration and creativity in the space. And that is a challenge that I really adore. So that's the long and short of it. I did theater in high school, I did theater in college, and I've been directing since senior year of high school, I suppose.
It's fantastic. Look how far you've come from Pirates of the Caribbean to Harry Potter, and now here with this great fan fiction show. This is wonderful. Well, now we've arrived at my favorite question to ask guests, and that, of course, is what is your favorite theater memory? Or, Nadia, in your case, what's another of your favorites?
I think I can start with a recent one, actually. I was just up in Canada for a director's lab called Director's Lab North. It is a sister lab of the Lincoln Center Lab that used to exist and has now been dissolved. And it's a week-long, 10-hour-a-day intensive where it's 25, 35 directors from around the world who just get to sit and talk about making art. And it is such a joy to get to be with other directors in a space because it's such a lonely, solitary profession. Getting to actually understand how other people create and craft a room and create and craft a world in a production, and what are people's approaches to working through difficult moments? What are people's ins into a play? How do people start thinking about it and putting it on its feet was such a gift that I'd never experienced before. So that's been my most recent, just really revelatory experience of, oh, it's so interesting to see that I'm both not alone in this, and so much of my process is mirrored in so many other people, and also just glean so much knowledge and wisdom from people at completely different points in their careers, different parts of the world, and figure out what from that I can pull into my own practice.
That is a wonderful memory. How awesome of an experience! Thank you so much for that.
I guess I'll chime in. Lincoln Center reminded me when I was 14, I got to perform in the chorus of the concert of parade at Lincoln Center that Jason Robert Brown conducted, which was like my biggest fangirl moment. And I fell in love with the musical before Ben Platt did it. Okay. And At the end, when they're singing the reprise of the Old Red Hills of Home, the orchestra cuts out and it's just a cappella, and it was like this 200 person chorus in David Geffen Hall, which is now called, no, I think it's called David Geffen Hall now. And we were all singing, and it was like the amount of sound coming, like and echoing back at me. And then it was just the drums and the final drum beat and the sound of the applause of that like theater. Like I'll never forget. It was like a standing ovation. And it wasn't really for me because I was in the chorus. It was for like, you know, the Broadway stars doing amazing work there. But it was like just the amount of sound that that amount of people, I was like, live theater is like, I literally walked out speechless. I was like, oh my God. Yes, that was a magical memory. And I'm really glad I got to do that.
Oh my gosh, that is an amazing memory. Thank you so much for sharing that. Jasper, bring us home with
Yeah,
them.
yeah, yeah. So I was really trying to think because we're still like the local, or like local, but like this, the playhouse in LA that I would go to, a lot of the theater houses, the Geffen. And I mean, the theater there always blows me away. Like I just saw Fat Ham and that was hilarious, obviously, such a comedic take on Hamlet. But honestly, like the play that re-educated me, like on theater, was like I saw The Inheritance by Matthew Lopez, and like I had never seen something that was, you know, over a runtime of like 2.5 hours, and that one goes way beyond that. And it was truly a day and night of theater, and that experience alone was so enveloped. Like I was so enveloped by it, because obviously you go there around lunchtime, you go have dinner, and then you go back and you watch more of this play. So it's just like it encapsulated every part of me, and the staging is super interesting.
That is a fabulous, fabulous memory and a great, great theater for you to shout out. Thank you so much for that. Thank you all so much for those. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, do any of you have any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline we might be able to plug for you?
Yeah, I'm also directing a production of The Misanthrope by Olivia Hunt at your Art Center. That's coming up July 31st through August 3rd. So I'm doing a little bit of back-to-back rehearsal, but that's a really, really wonderful dark comedy that will be premiering soon as well.
I, yeah, I am in a short film coming out called The Curtain. It's a horror film. It's fantastic. It was directed and written by Jamie Edmondson, and I'm so excited to be able to post more like actually about that on my socials, because it's an incredible queer horror piece.
I just finished up doing a play in West Virginia, but I would recommend looking at their production of Steel Magnolias, West Virginia Public Theater. They do a lot of great stuff for actors also looking for a great place to start working. And then I'm part of the sketch comedy group Enemies to Lovers. We're on social media. We perform at Brooklyn Comedy Collective. We just had a show at Young Ethel's. So look out for more comedy moments. Yeah, okay.
I love that. So you all have some wonderful stuff that we need to stay tuned for. And that makes for a perfect lead into my final question, which is, if our listeners would like more information about Cringe or about any of you, perhaps they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
Yeah, so Cringe is produced by Fish Market Theater Co., which is a theater company I've co-founded. So you can find any of those updates at fishmarket.theater.co on Instagram. We have a website. You can sign up for our Substack, which is also our newsletter. We're constantly doing things, programming our next season. So that's a great place. And then my personal website is nadiaatkinson.com. And my handle, I believe, is just Nadia Atkinson because I'm not that excited.
Yeah, the best way to see my stuff, and obviously also for me to promo for this play Cringe that I'm in, is my Instagram, which is just Jasper Peter Pershing, and or at Jasper Peter Cushing. And that's where I'll have all stuff about the curtain and some other film stuff that I have, as well as some plays every now and then, which I love. Yeah.
I'm alice.zell on Instagram because Zelenko's too hard. And my website is, I think it's a Wix site still. It's but you could just Google my name. But I do update my website. So you can look there. I'm gonna update it within this week. So it'll be even more gorgeous and beautiful. It'll include a lot of good images from the show I just did so that you can produce. Okay, bye.
Even more impetus to go check it out to see Alice's amazing graphic design skills.
Oh yeah.
I know where I'm going as soon as this is over.
Oh yeah. It also has a drawing of me by my friend Harris, and you can be the judge if it looks like me or not.
I love it. Well, wonderful. Well, Nadia, Alice, Jasper, thank you all so much for taking the time to speak with me and for sharing your amazing new work ahead of its premiere both here in New York and over at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. So thank you all so much for your time.
Thank you for having me
Thank you
and
for
this
having
incredible
us.
cast.
My guests today have been the amazing co-playwright and director Nadia Atkinson and the amazing actors Alice Zelenko and Jasper Pershing. They joined us to talk about their upcoming production of Cringe, or hashtag No Beta We Die Like Men, which is part of the East to Edinburgh Festival as well as the Edinburgh Festival itself. The show is playing here in New York at the East to Edinburgh Festival, July 20th, 26th, and 27th at 59 E59 Theatres, and then August 12th through the 20th at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. You can get your tickets for the New York premiere by visiting 59E59.org, and we also have some great contact information for all of our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description as well as on our social media posts. But right now, get your tickets, go to 59E59.org or find out how you can get your tickets for the show in Scotland. You're not going to want to miss this. This is a fabulous piece of theater. We're so excited to get to see it ourselves. The show again is Cringe, or hashtag No Beta We Die Like Men. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones
Unwrap your candies
and keep talking about theater.
in a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.